The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
We're looking at Dynasty Rankings, Heath versus Consensus. Heath gets to argue with the rest of the industry, basically. That'll be fun. Wide receivers and tight ends. Heath is lower on Diontae Johnson, higher on Juju Smith-Schuster. Who do you think he likes better? Dave, who do you think he likes better, Diontae Johnson or Juju Smith-Schuster in his Dynasty Rankings?
I think, well, goodness, if you're asking me that question, that probably means he's got Juju ranked higher than Diontae Johnson. I don't know if I'd see it the same way. I bet they're pretty close. I will say he's got...
Wrong. What? He does not.
I was about to say, he's probably got Diontae like one spot ahead of Juju.
Two spots, Dave. Two spots. Also...
Rough start to the show for Dave.
I know.
Yeah, it's right? Not the first time this has happened to me.
All right, so we're going to ask Heath some more of his discrepancies, basically, with the rest of the industry. We're going to tell you about how to join the Podcast League. Our NFL Draft Contest is starting up again. We have a cool Google Doc, basically, for you to fill out. That's going to make this a lot easier, but you can join our Podcast League if you can guess the top 10 picks in order. It doesn't have to be the team. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. And your email is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please send those in, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Heath, when you look at your dynasty rankings at wide receiver and tight end, what's one of the biggest outliers that you want to highlight here?
Yeah, it's not one of the names that I sent you to prep for the show. So I saw you said, what is your biggest outlier? So I thought that will definitely, like, I looked mostly at top 20, top 30 guys. So I looked a little bit deeper just to say, like, who's the biggest name who is a discrepancy? And he is a happy birthday. He just turned 30 years old 9 days ago. He
don't have it yet. Dave, we're guessing.
You don't have it yet? He changed teams this offseason.
Devontae Adams?
Nope.
He's 29. What position? Did you say the position?
He's a wide receiver.
Changed teams.
That's what I was assuming was receiver.
Changed teams and he's 30. Keep going.
I feel like I'm playing Weddle.
Oh, I think
he's never scored more than six touchdowns in a season.
Schrager got it. Robert Woods.
It is Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Good job, Shraggy B.
He is number 45 in the consensus dynasty rankings and number 63 in mine. And share something, like, the guy who replaced him, Allen Robinson, is probably the second biggest discrepancy. I think he's 36 in the consensus and 48 in mine. I have a real hard time ranking guys who are at that age where the long-term future is uncertain, but also they don't project very well for this year. Because if you are not a league winner this year and you have no guarantee of a future after this year, then what could your dynasty value be?
Why can't Allen Robinson be revived into a league winner? By the way, it's been a long time since we've been able to call Heath an aegis. That was kind of a fantasy baseball thing, but I'm glad to have it back. Glad to have it back.
I think as a rule, like, traditionally, it doesn't seem to be the case right now, but in the past, I have not valued or devalued players for age quite as much as some do. And I think I still don't with, like, Derrick Henry or Devontae Adams. I have them higher than the industry does, but they're still league winners. What I have a hard time with is 28, 29, 30-year-old guys who I don't see a path to them being a league winner. And I, like, Robinson could have just had a down year last year and that he has the ability to bounce back to be a top 20 wide receiver again. Woods could too. But the history that I can recall, and I haven't run a study on this, but I think we'll agree with this statement, wide receivers who at age 28, 29, 30 have down years like this. They bounce back. Like AJ Green bounced back last year, but not to what he had been in his prime.
No. I don't even know if we could say he was a reliable starter for many points of last year. Maybe early on last year he was okay. But I remember in the second half of the year, he was just an absolute grenade going off in people's lineups, and it was terrible. I do think there is some upside for Allen Robinson to be somewhere between 20th and 30th among wide receivers. So I'm not ready to tank him like you have in Dynasty. He stands out as one of those receivers that you should be able to get for a pretty cheap price if you're trying to win now in Dynasty.
And to be fair, if you look at him on a per-game basis, he was top 100 in PPR, not in non-PPR. But he was 90th in full PPR. So,
oh yeah,
got not, that not bad on a per game basis.
Yeah, well, what a stat to help sell people on Allen Robinson.
And not the, like he wasn't even the answer. The answer was Robert Woods.
Right, I know. Well, we all agree on Robert Woods, 30-year-old receiver coming off an ACL, going to a run first team that would prefer to run the ball 50% of the time. That already has a number one receiver.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about them, or we can talk about Aiden Hutchinson. Or the rest of the top 10 in the NFL draft. Who will be number one? Schrager, come on over here and tell us how to get into the Fantasy Football Today Podcast Listeners League.
Yeah, this might be the most difficult year we've ever done this. I have no idea who's going in the top 10. Usually we do it in the Facebook group, but we'll have a Google Doc, Google Form. Adam will throw it in the podcast description. If you're watching on YouTube, it'll be in the chat. It'll be in the description. Predict the top 10, and whoever's closest to the most accurate, usually it's 7, sometimes 8 players correct, gets a spot in the podcast league.
Right, and so here's the thing. You have to spell their name right, right? Mm. Because if you don't, then because Schrager's going to sort by correct answers. If you spell their name wrong, that's a wrong answer. Spell their name right. It's just which 10 players are going in that order. It has to be the order. So if you think Hutchinson's going 1, put him 1. If you think Malik Willis is going 6, put him 6. Whatever it is, he's not going 6. No. 6, yeah, he could go 6. Not going 5 or 7. But anyway, the order has to be right. The team doesn't matter. So 1 through 10, the order that you think the players will be drafted, and spell their names correctly.
Let's get that last name right.
Yeah.
And I think we really need to revisit the he's not going 5 or 7.
Well, he's not going to the Giants.
Why not? Right. What if the Giants trade out? They've got a new GM
now.
Why would he not? Like, why not?
Why would he not draft a quarterback in round 1?
Yeah. The Giants.
Because he can get a comparable quarterback in round 2 or 3.
I don't think there is a comparable quarterback to Willis. Like, if he wants that kind of guy.
I've not heard
any smoke around the Giants, but there's nothing like it amongst teams who might be considering a quarterback in the first round. If some are, I don't know why the Giants wouldn't be.
Well, they should have last year and they didn't. I don't think that they are. I have not read one single thing about them looking at quarterback.
Isn't that exactly what they should be doing if they want to?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think that anyone thinks that the quarterbacks are the 5th or 7th best players in the draft. And I think that when you're a bad team, you shouldn't reach for a quarterback. You should just take the best players and get your quarterback next year.
Tell that to the Panthers.
Yeah. Well, they are openly desperate at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, the Giants have said the opposite, basically.
Giants have the 36th pick in the draft. I would not be surprised if a quarterback goes then to the Giants. 5 or 7 would surprise me.
Okay. So that's our NFL draft contest. Check the episode description in the podcast feed, and Ben told you the other ways you can find it. Now, also, merchandising. We've got great merchandise for you. Fantasy Football Today helps you dominate your league all season long. Now you can represent your favorite podcast with official FFT gear only found on the CBS Sports Store. Discover t-shirts, mugs, sweatpants, laser-engraved pint glasses, hats, water bottles, and more to remind your buddies how you got the inside scoop to crush the competition. Right now, FFT listeners will get 20% off their order when they use this podcast exclusive code. Here's the code: FantasyFootball20 during checkout. So FantasyFootball20 is the code. Get 20% off. It's only for our listeners. And we've got a link, store.cbssports.com. We'll start and then, you know, /collection/fantasy-football-today. But don't worry. There's an easier way. Again, the episode description.
What is this? I think I've got something here. Oh, Ben took it from me. I had this thing sitting on my shelf that people can, if they take a picture of it with their phone, it will take them right there.
QR code?
Oh, yeah.
That is what
Ben sent me that to put on the shelf whenever you were doing the read. So
we don't know what a QR code is called. We're calling our swag merchandise. We think the Giants are going to take a first round quarterback.
No, we don't think that.
I'm sure there's going to be a line, you know, a digital line in the metasphere for merchandise at this point.
Well, anyway, go to the store.
At least we've got. Hold on, wait. Do we have to spell the coupon code right?
They could not land that joke, and it just went off the rails.
No, that's okay.
Football 20 has to be spelled right as well, otherwise you don't get the discount.
Fantasy Football 20 is the discount.
No unplanned jokes in the middle of reads. We've learned this.
If anything,
jokes have to be planned if they go in the middle of reads.
If anything doesn't go right on the show, Dave, we'll call it out on the show. He's been doing
that
for 12 years.
Well,
now.
It's supposed to not. Sponsors aren't supposed to be included in that. Usually I shut my trap when it comes to reads. Like he said, couldn't resist this time. But seriously, thanks for buying our mug.
Okay. You could maybe get Dave's mug on your mug. That would be fun. Let's do some news and notes.
What could I do? You could, if you buy merchandise, I will mail you an authentic piece of paper signed by me, Jamie, and Heath for free. I will mail it for free to the address of your choice.
I just used the QR code and I'm now there in the store.
Dave,
what's that website link again?
I'm also disappointed that you didn't get the merchandising.
I got it.
Okay.
It
just, okay.
That's a nice tote bag.
That also didn't land. We have tote bags?
Yeah.
Okay.
No crap.
So let's talk about news and notes here. Here's your tote bag.
Okay. I have the joggers and wear them regularly.
How are they comfortable?
Extremely soft.
Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyler
Maybe
Murray.
Maybe this stuff isn't so bad.
Will not attend their team's offseason workouts, according to Ian Rappaport. Garoppolo's got the shoulder injury. He's still rehabbing. Kyler Murray, not an injury related situation. And also, AJ Green said he needs to communicate better with Kyler Murray, that they basically need to be more on the same page. So, just a Kyler Murray question here. How much does the off-field stuff factor into your ranking and your analysis of Kyler Murray right now, and where do you have him?
I moved him down because it does factor in. I don't like that he's going to be all sourpuss over the year and that he's starting this little fight with the team over a contract already. I'm seventh. I'm also nervous about how he plays after he gets hurt. It's been 2 years in a row now where we've seen his average dip because he takes on an injury. And I also am a little bit worried about that receiving core.
Okay.
What they have is old, except for Rondale Moore.
Yeah, he was at six for me. He was the kind of final stop that I had before Deshaun Watson, even though I have Watson projected higher over 17 games. I don't think I can get to the point to where I think that there is a bigger risk currently for Kyler than Deshaun Watson. Now, that might change by August, but for now, I'm going to leave Kyler ahead of Watson.
So you've got Kyler at six. That means there's one player that I've got ahead of Kyler that you have behind.
Joe Burrow.
Nope. Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I am banking on more pass attempts for Russ in Denver than he ever had in Seattle.
I am too. I just
I'm
don't
take him over Kyler.
I don't, man. I really don't know how to compare the two receiving corps.
Denver's you could look at Arizona's?
No. DK and Lockett to Judy and Sutton.
Well, it's not just Judy and Sutton. You're also getting Patrick and Okwuegbunam.
Okay, I'm not giving Okwuegbunam any credit over Gerald Everett or Will Disley or anybody else.
Okay, that's fine. What about Javonte? You're not going to give him credit either as a pass catcher?
He's fine.
It's fine. KJ Hamler? Where's KJ Hamler in the dynasty rankings?
112.
Really,
so
Dave?
Behind Robert Woods?
I would rather spell out the URL than talk about the 112th ranked wide receiver.
I just totally made that number up. I have no idea.
Do we have FFT golf balls?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
That would be incredible.
We don't have that.
But we've got joggers.
I would never buy those because, I don't golf. But if I did, I would lose them.
Hamler is 78 at wide receiver.
So he's pretty close to Robert
Right behind Woods. Paris Campbell, right ahead of Denzel Mims.
You should call him the great Hambino. Remember the great Hambino from the Sandlot? No. So Carolina offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo said that Sam Darnold is the starting quarterback, and then he said that was something that he should not have said. So,
oh, man.
We'll check in on
this
that.
This is
in a
the
week.
Guy in charge of Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore. What a year we're about to have in Carolina.
Some tight end news. The Bears signed James O'Shaughnessy and Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota's head coach.
What they needed was another tight end.
Said that Irv Smith is on schedule as he recovers from meniscus surgery. So, Cole Kmet or Irv Smith?
Kmet.
Irv.
What about you, Schrager? Cole Kmet?
Kmet and Dynasty. I'm sorry. Kmet and Dynasty.
I still think Irv has it.
Okay. Irv it is.
What are the odds that Irv finishes second on the Vikings in targets?
Not so bad. It would depend on Thielen.
If Justin Jefferson gets Cooper Kupp's target share, then I'm not sure second's going to be all that great.
He's not going to get that.
All the more reason to go after Kmet.
I mean, he's not going to? Because he's not as good as Cooper Kupp?
No, because Cooper Kupp's not going to get Cooper Kupp's target share. Yeah. In all likelihood. What was his target share? 30?
All. Yeah, 31, 32, something like that.
That's
all,
tough to...
All, and then the percentage sign.
Maybe he will. Andy Reid said the Chiefs' offense won't be significantly different without Tyreek Hill.
No.
The question I have is it going to be the Chiefs' offense of 2021 or the 3 years before that? Are they going to be able to get their downfield passing game going again? It's obviously going to be a lot tougher without Tyreek Hill. Are they going to be more of a ball out of the hand quickly, shorter pass, more PPR friendly, but less explosive offense? Teams seem to really learn how to limit the Chiefs almost half the season. And it seemed like the Chiefs kind of figured it out down the stretch, but yeah.
Yeah, they were exceptional against that too high safety look in the last four or five games. And so if teams do that to start the year, I don't think they'll do it for very long.
I think
they're banking on that. I think their offense as it's designed now is to continue running receivers on deep routes. That's what Hardman's for, and I think that's what Valdes-Scantling can do. And they're hoping that they can win more often and have more explosive plays underneath. That's what Juju's there for. So I think there's room for them to be certainly a productive offense and a top five type of offense, just in a different type of way. But they're still going to have that deep element to their game, which makes, in my mind, it makes Mecole Hardman and Valdes-Scantling draftable, but as bench receivers, not as guys who might be the next Tyreek Hill.
And who of those two would you prefer?
I have Hardman ahead of MVS because Hardman's been there longer.
And Hardman will probably get 15 rush attempts or something.
I'm going to go off subject one more time.
Good.
Dave, did you see the end of the Celtics-Nets game on Sunday?
Yes, I did.
Woo! Heath is a big Celtics fan, which is weird because he has no ties to the Celtics, so he's probably just a bandwagon fan from when he grew up.
As is my son, who also has no ties to the Celtics.
Oh, okay. Wow, that was such a great game.
It was an awesome game.
What team should I have chosen in the 80s?
The Bulls.
What?
Like,
I don't know who is geographically the closest.
That's the thing. Chicago, from my recollection, Chicago, Denver, and Dallas are all, depending on what portion of the city you're going into, like 8 to 9 hours away. And so it could have been Nuggets, it could have been Mavs, it could have been Bulls. There was not. Now it's Oklahoma City pretty easily. I don't think there was a Memphis team back then, but Memphis is closer than all those now as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but it was just you fell in love with Larry and Robert Parrish and DJ and McHale and all those guys. Had to be it. I mean, I've never seen you play basketball, Heath, but I bet you model your game after Larry Bird.
No, I never could shoot as good at anywhere close to that good.
Really?
I was more of a Rodman Lambeer type.
That doesn't surprise me much. Yeah, then you should have been a Pistons fan, I guess.
Yeah.
Could have been a Pistons fan. Anyway, there was a lot to learn from that final play of the game. It was a great play.
It was really cool. Great stuff. Yeah. All right, listen, the game two, by the way, is on Wednesday, unfortunately. It seems like we might have three crappy games tonight, but you can check it all the coverage out on CBS Sports HQ. Now, more importantly, if you have a small business, if you ship a lot of things, you need to be using stamps.com. Go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, enter the code FFT, and there's a great offer for you, which I'm going to tell you about in just a minute. But time is money. Don't waste either with repeated trips to the post office. With stamps.com, you can skip the trip and focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer, and it saves you money in the process so you can spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. Basically, whatever you can do at the post office, you can do it right from your home. I've used stamps.com. It's really convenient. It's really easy to use. Gives you access to all the post office and UPS shipping services you need right from your computer, and you can get discounts that you can't find anywhere else, like 40% off USPS rates and 76% off UPS. Whether you're an office sending invoices, whether you've got an Etsy shop, full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer, no special supplies or equipment. You'll be up and running in minutes. So stop overpaying for shipping with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code FFT for a special offer. You're going to get a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter the code FFT. And now let's get into Heath's Dynasty rankings. So consensus, according to Fantasy Pros, Tyreek Hill is number 9, and Heath has him 16th. So this is Dynasty. Remember, this is obviously taking in what we expect in 2021, but it's also the future. So Tyreek Hill, consensus 9th, and you've got him 16th in his first year with the Dolphins.
Yeah, and there's a little bit, like to a much lesser degree, of the same thing that we kind of talked about with Woods and Robinson. To be a top 10 dynasty wide receiver at 28 years old with all the great young wide receivers we have right now in the NFL, I need to feel like you're like challenging to be the number one wide receiver this season. I think it's more possible right now for Davante Adams than it is for Tyreek Hill. I just need to see him in this offense. Is he going to get any of the big plays downfield? Are they going to use him more close to the line of scrimmage like what happened last year, or like what the 49ers did with Debo? And if they do, can his frame hold up to that type of violence? Because he does not take a lot of hits, at least in the Chiefs offense. I don't think he'll have the efficiency he's had in Kansas City, obviously, because he's not playing with Patrick Mahomes, but also I have a hard time projecting the target share unless they are just a super pass heavy team with both Waddle and Gesicki there as well.
Okay. So I'm going to pull up Heath's rankings in Dynasty, and you can always do that. If you go to cbssports.com/fantasy, go to our football page, and there's a Dynasty Central link, and you can see all the rankings there. But just some players.
You were on it today. That was an excellent reference and segue as you were pulling up the rankings. Fantastic.
Yeah. So you have, for example, you have Jalen Waddle well ahead of him. Stephon Diggs, Debo Samuel. Remember, everybody, this is Dynasty, not season long. Godwin, DJ Moore, McLaurin, Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore ahead of Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's pretty, that's something right there. Dave, what's your reaction to that?
I get it in terms of Elijah Moore is going to be around for a long time. I can't help but think that that's got potential to change after day one of the draft. If the Jets go and spend one of their two first round picks on a wide receiver, obviously that crushes Elijah Moore. So I would keep that one very much in pencil, but I can also make the case that if the Jets don't take a wide receiver with one of their first round picks, and maybe not even one in round two, then they see Elijah Moore as their number one receiver long-term and somebody who does deserve some consideration as a long-term type of prospect ahead of Tyreek Hill. The thing that annoys me with Hill is that I almost feel like his value based on the consensus is not even taking the Dolphins offense into consideration and what it might look like. The fact that he's got Tua as his quarterback for the foreseeable future. The fact that last year he wasn't even top 20 in terms of consistency rate when he was with Kansas City. And there's no guarantee about the same type of target volume. Everything's up in the air for Tyreek Hill, who's now 28 years old and just got paid and changed teams. So I get where Heath's at 100%.
So, Dave, if you were going to choose between Chris Godwin, who is entering his age 26 season, or Tyreek Hill, 28, who would you take? Heath has Godwin four spots ahead.
Yeah, I would too. I think that Godwin, even with the ACL and coming back from that, and not nearly as explosive as a wide receiver, and a wide receiver who's going to have a different quarterback at some point in his career, I think he stands out as a safer dynasty receiver than Tyreek.
So I think the interesting thing, I'm going to do this a little bit because I've been thinking about this. I haven't got any of the rookies put into my actual position rankings. And I generally do that right after the NFL draft, but I like to kind of think about it as we're doing it. And one of the things I've seen a lot over the last couple of days of Garrett Wilson as the first wide receiver off the board to the Falcons at number 8.
Yep. That's starting to pick up some steam.
And I just wonder, like, if he's taken there, is he ahead of Elijah Moore? Is he ahead of Tyreek Hill? Like, where does he fall into that wide receiver 2 range? Cause I think he'll be a top 20 guy for sure. I don't know if he'll quite get ahead of Hill with Mariota as the only quarterback.
And I think that ranking Waddle well ahead of Hill is interesting because Waddle's potential is obviously linked to how good Hill is going to be and for how long. So Waddle 9, yeah, Hill 16.
I think it's really interesting to think, like, who do you think it sees more targets next year? Jalen Waddle or Tyreek Hill?
Hill.
I can make the case for Waddle.
I'm not sure at all.
I can make the case for both, for sure. My gut says Hill.
Yeah.
If that offensive line performs better than it did last year, that's a huge key for Tyreek. If that line is bleeding defenders, then it's going to be Waddle.
I think at the very least, even if Tyreek Hill, and I would not be surprised if Waddle's better this year, but even if Tyreek Hill is better this year, it's going to be one of those situations like we've talked about over the last couple of years, the Godwin taking over as the number one in Tampa thing in terms of targets, the Ridley taking over from Julio as the number one. Like, that will be right around the corner. I would expect year 2 or year 3 at the latest, Waddle's going to be better than Hill.
Okay, I think that, you know, people have the idea, maybe not our audience, I think they kind of understand what happened with the Chiefs last year, but right. You have the idea of Tyreek Hill as kind of a low target, high yards per catch, high yards per target guy, but he averaged 10 targets per game last year before week 18 when he played 14 snaps, 9.8 targets per game. He had 156 targets, so different role, yep. And he earned those mega targets. All right, Marquise Brown. Here's a fun one. Consensus 31, wide receiver 31 for Marquise Brown. And Heath has Marquise Brown, wide receiver 18, just two spots behind Tyreek Hill. Man, what has Marquise Brown done to earn wide receiver 18 in your dynasty rankings?
Well, I think his last 17 games with Lamar Jackson are basically a top 5 fantasy wide receiver.
Yeah, but what else?
He was a superstar in the second half of 2020. He was a superstar in the first half of 2021, and then his quarterback got hurt. Now, there's uncertainty because he's on this Baltimore team that last year was the first time they've even thrown the ball kind of normal. It's been a super heavy run attack, and Mark Andrews is the actual number one there. But I still view Brown as a solid number two, maybe borderline number two wide receiver, and he's 24, 25 years old.
Okay. He's 25 when the season starts this year. Birthday's in June. The biggest worry I've got with Brown is durability. And I felt like I was sensing some frustration from John Harbaugh during his press conferences during the year once Brown started to get hurt. Now, a guy with his kind of speed is going to last in the NFL for a long time. Think about all the receivers that play into their 30s that are able to keep up that type of speed. So he's going to play for a while. I don't think you have to worry about that in Dynasty. I think you have to worry about who he's catching passes from, what type of offense is he in, what type of opportunities does he get, particularly if he's on a team that's kind of frustrated with him being on and off the field and on and off the practice field.
And I think it's worth noting that over the past 2 seasons combined, Marquise Brown's missed 1 game.
Yeah, but he's played hurt through a bunch. And sometimes he's come up with good numbers.
What you to do? Like, yeah, everybody's playing hurt.
Everybody plays sore, but there have been times where he's just been, There have been times where he's been frustrating for the Ravens, but then he goes out and he plays and he does okay.
Yeah, well, he's definitely been frustrating for fantasy managers because he has been kind of hot and cold. And I guess we've had.
And I always like those guys a little more than consensus, I think.
Right,
like the Tyler Lockett, Tyreek Hill at times.
Those are the guys that they can win you weeks.
Is this,
you know, Marquise Brown could have two straight weeks of 4 for 50, and then he breaks out with a 6 for 129 and 2.
I totally bought into his breakout. First eight games, he was on a 17-game pace of 98 catches, 1,449 yards, and 13 touchdowns. And that included the Detroit game where he dropped 3 touchdowns. I think 2 were on the same possession, so let's say two more touchdowns and a ton of yards. And then in the last 8 games of the season, he did not score a touchdown, and he had 55 or fewer yards in all 8 games.
And he still had a lot of targets.
He had a ton of targets. And he was on pace for 164 targets in those eight games per 17 games. He averaged 4.2 yards per target in those last 8 games, and some of them were with Lamar Jackson. The first 3 of those 8 were with Lamar Jackson. And I think maybe it's just that he has shown us glimpses but hasn't been able to put it together for a full season, and people are maybe a little worried about that. Although I got to be honest, I don't really know where people stand on Marquise Brown. I think he's going to be kind of polarizing.
Well, I mean, like the consensus has him as a low end number 3 wide receiver.
Yeah, 31 is low. Like 31 for you is who? Is
it
Rashad Bateman, ironically.
There we go.
Who are the 5 names after Hollywood Brown in your rankings, dynasty rankings, Heath?
We're going to talk about 2 of them in the next 10 minutes. But
okay. Cool.
Devontae Smith, Deontay Johnson, Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Dave, would you put
sure
any of them?
Take the first 2 names ahead of Marquise Brown.
That's Devontae Smith and Deontay Johnson.
For sure.
And then it's Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay. All right, so why don't we take a little break here? Oh, by the way, I wanted to reveal these Twitter poll results. I want to know, who do people think is the best wide receiver on Baltimore? Marquise Brown or Rashad Bateman? The answer right after this on Fantasy Football Today.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest 3 words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Welcome back. I'm sure you're all curious. This is not a fantasy football question, just a regular football question. Who do you think is a better wide receiver, Marquise Brown or Rashad Bateman? Only 467 votes so far, and 61% Marquise Brown, 39% Rashad Bateman.
I just retweeted it, so.
All right, we'll get
some
that
more. Helps Marquise out.
Get some more action there. Moving on to some more dynasty discrepancies between Heath's rankings and the consensus. Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster, you're actually lower on Johnson than consensus. You have him 20th in your dynasty rankings, and the industry consensus rankings have him 14th, and you're higher on Juju. But we'll start with Deontay Johnson. And you just flat out...
just don't
like Deontay Johnson, I think.
No, like that is something. I have nothing wrong with Deontay Johnson, the person. I know nothing negative about him, and I don't want to insinuate that I don't like him. I doubt he likes me very much.
He told me that he's a big fan of the beard.
I have always been skeptical that he was as good as his target share, And the guy who was giving him that target share is not there anymore. And I don't, like, I thought that when Roethlisberger left, maybe they would improve at quarterback, and maybe Mitchell Trubisky will be a slight improvement. But I also think it probably means less pass volume for the team, because I don't think they wanted to throw as much as they did last year. Ben Roethlisberger didn't like running plays very much. He'd just call a pass play and then throw it 2 yards instead of handing it off. And it's just like, I do agree with the idea that targets are earned, and I do agree with the idea that volume matters more than anything else, but he has been nothing but volume. The efficiency is one of the worst of all time for a player to earn as many targets as he has, or at least of the most recent time period, the 2000s. And I don't know that the efficiency is going to improve with Trubisky or a rookie quarterback. And I don't think it's likely he keeps this target share.
Are there specific efficiency metrics that really make you nervous with Deontay?
Yards per target. He's at 6.8 for his career. He was at 6.9 last year. That's a really good running back, or a like a Jason Witten type tight end number. Go ahead.
I'll find what I'm looking for.
For instance, guys like Tyreek Hill and Tyler Lockett, who are the best, are generally closer to 10 yards per target. Most good wide receivers, I think, are over 8. And it might be that the quarterback's just the problem on that, or the offense is just the problem on that. But I don't know that it gets any better this year.
What I wanted to look up is yards per route run for Deontay Johnson, because I know he's running a ton of routes. Mm-hmm. Certainly last year and the past several years, the Steelers have done a lot of that. Now, if that number were to come in real low, I would start to get a little nervous. And I don't know. It might be. That's what I'm looking up right now.
Okay. Let me see. So the Steelers had the fourth most pass attempts and the fifth fewest rush attempts in the NFL last year. So that's kind of, Heath is banking on that not being so lopsided. And yeah, I mean, that would hurt. Who's taking targets away from Deontay Johnson? They could draft.
No, it's like he might get 30%, but 30% of 100 fewer targets is a big difference when the only thing you're getting is catches, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not like this distinction probably doesn't matter that much. He's a year older than Marquise Brown, another guy we're going to talk about in just a minute. Juju Smith-Schuster, I think, is actually like 3 months younger than him. Like, I don't know that we should expect a big change in his efficiency unless he gets with just an elite quarterback or something.
Right, that's going to be half the equation. And getting Trubisky instead of Roethlisberger will give him a quarterback who can probably throw with a little bit more power down the field. As silly as that sounds to say that Trubisky can throw with power, but I think he can. I just don't know if he's going to be nearly as cerebral of a quarterback or understanding of how defenses are as Roethlisberger was. So I think that you've got to hang your hat on the target volume for him, at least for next year. But if the Steelers do a good job of getting a long-term solution at quarterback, I think Deontay Johnson will have the opportunity to prove that he can be a more efficient pass catcher, even if the target share does go down, or maybe not the share, that's not the right word, the volume goes down. He's at 1.89 yards per, or targets per route run.
I have no idea if that's good or bad.
I think that's close to good. It ranks 33rd.
Oh, that's not
among
bad.
I'm sorry, yards per route run, not targets per route run. 1.89. That's 33.
If he was getting 1.89 targets per route run, that would be elite.
Yeah.
It'd be wide receiver one.
Yeah, it'd be impossible to do that. So my mistake for saying that. I pulled a McAdoo. 1.89 isn't bad, but you're always looking for a number two or higher. So it's close. That's good.
Heath, would you rather have this year Marquise Brown or Deontay Johnson redraft?
Right now, I'd rather have Deontay Johnson.
Same.
Dave. Okay, how about Deontay Johnson or Terry McLaurin?
In Dynasty or redraft?
Both.
In Dynasty, I would take McLaurin. In redraft, that might be a PPR versus non. No, I've got McLaurin higher in both.
I got Deontay higher than both. In redraft, it's by two spots. And I don't do Dynasty receiver rankings, but if I did, they'd be very close together. They're they're not necessarily the same receiver, but they're in the same situation where you can't possibly believe that the quarterback that they have now is going to be there 2 to 4 years from now.
I think this is like part of my process, maybe a little window into that as well. The big difference for me in Dynasty is I think Terry McLaurin has considerably more upside than Deontay Johnson. I think if they were both put into the same situation, I mean, we're talking about Deontay Johnson hasn't had a good quarterback yet. Terry McLaurin would kill for Deontay Johnson's quarterback.
You think so?
I think if McLaurin or Deontay ended up with a really good quarterback, McLaurin is better. But that's just my opinion.
I think Johnson could play like McLaurin. I think that's within his range. The problem is that the Steelers, at least for the past couple of seasons, have been handcuffed by a quarterback that just can't throw the ball downfield with, you know, good velocity, et cetera. And I think that that's kind of hurt what Deontay Johnson's game can be.
I think when you look at your wide receiver rankings, who's the first wide receiver, the highest ranked wide receiver in your rankings? And I know this is a dynasty show, but I just let's spin it to just 2022 redraft. Who is the first or highest ranked wide receiver in your rankings that you look at and say, wow, he might be on a bad offense?
Brandon Cook. Whoa, I was looking at projections. I think I still have Cooks ahead of those guys. So Brandon Cooks.
You have I'm seeing McLaurin 15, Cooks 16, Johnson 17. So right
okay.
there.
Yeah, right I have there. Cooks the highest in the projections, but I've pulled Cooks down because I don't want people to think I'm crazy.
I mean, can we say the Dolphins are a good offense?
No, that was if it's not one of the three that Heath said, I'm thinking it's probably the Dolphins that they could be bad, but I don't know if they'll be bad. But they're not the Bucks, you know. If you're talking about Tyreek Hill versus Chris Godwin, they're not going to be the right. Cowboys. You're talking about Tyreek Hill versus CeeDee Lamb.
Do the Titans qualify?
Yeah, it could be AJ Brown.
I don't know.
This comes down to amazing receiver. I hope no one really did tell him that he was a diva or a problem because he's awesome. But he's on an offense that fundamentally wants to be balanced and run the ball and be different.
I don't know if you guys heard me sneeze, but you didn't say bless you, so that's pretty messed up. Schrager, what do you think? Can we save tight ends for another show?
Yeah, let's do it next week.
Next week's going to be
2 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks.
Someday in the future. I tell you what, I can do that one real quick. Sell Dawson Knox, buy Rob Gronkowski, sell Hunter Henry. There we go.
Buy Rob Gronkowski.
He literally may not play again.
He's cheap. Tight end 25.
In the consensus. Worth
almost nothing.
Right, and for you, he's 15th. You'd rather have Gronk than Knox.
I'd rather have Gronk than Knox or Henry. Gronk right. might win me the league next year.
Right, right. Okay, so then I want to talk about Keenan Allen because consensus is wide receiver 22 in Dynasty for Keenan Allen, and Heath has him at wide receiver 29. And he's getting up there in age. Keenan Allen's going to be 30 this year. He's actually going to be 30 in a few days. And Heath, do you think we're seeing signs of the end of the road, which is obviously the best Boyz II Men song?
It is odd that the last 2 years, his efficiency has been significantly worse than it was the prior five in terms of yards per catch and yards per target. And yet he's had a better quarterback in those 2 years. So, yes, if you wanted to point to that as a possibility for a sign of decline in terms of efficiency, I think it is. I think you'll also probably see the Chargers run a few fewer plays next year. They were still, they're a good offense. They're going to be high paced. But I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Williams gets a little higher share of the targets either.
Dave, do you think we're seeing something? I think there are some signs here with Keenan Allen that, this is the first time in 5 years that he didn't lead the team in receiving. He was 8 yards behind Mike Williams. The yards per target, the yards per catch, the catch rate, it's all like kind of a little below what you would typically expect from him. Where is he ranked in big plays, 20-plus yard catches in the last 5 years? 8th, 23rd, 21st, and then the last 2 years, 43rd and 34th. So we're seeing fewer big plays from him. You know, I think it's pretty interesting because, I don't know, he's been... And also, he finished 13th per game at wide receiver in full PPR. which is actually pretty low for him. He's always top 12. He was 13th, but a lot of times he's like 6th. So, yeah, could this be a guy that could be a bust? Do you see bust potential for Keenan Allen?
Not yet. Ask me that a week and a few days from now. Ask me that after the draft, because if the Chargers add one of these quality receivers within their first 100 picks, not their 100 picks, they don't have 100 picks, but within the first three rounds of the draft, I was going to say within the first 100 picks of the draft, that would be a telling sign. And off the top of the dome, I don't know if this is factual or not, but I do think there's a chance they can move on from him after this year without much of a cap hit. What I like about last year is not only, would you say, 13th in PPR points per game?
Yeah,
he was right around there for me. He was 8th in consistency. He was 6th in targets per game. So even if the targets per game drop just a little bit and the consistency drops a little bit, he still has room to finish as a top 15 type of fantasy receiver. I think you draft him accordingly in full PPR. And then if it's non-PPR, you move him down significantly lower if those catches don't count, especially if they add another big play over the top type of wide receiver.
Yeah. And
just to verify, Keenan Allen, $21 million cap hit next in 2023, which
that's,
I guess,
the cap hit or the dead money?
Cap hit. The dead money is only
staying. So he's staying for another year.
Yeah. Now in Dynasty, Heath has him 29th. And again, consensus Dynasty rankings on Keenan Allen was 21, I believe, right? 22, sorry. So
that's the old guy portion of the rankings.
Hold on. His cap number is $21.7 million next year, but they save almost $15
million. Right.
If they cut him after this year.
That's what I said.
I didn't hear you say that. I just heard the $21 million cap number.
He can't be cut. Cap hit and cap number are different.
That's the old guy portion of the rankings. Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins. 6 straight wide receivers just outside of the top 24 in Dynasty.
All 28 and older. Mike Evans, Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Some of the guys you have ahead of him are that whole group. Some of the guys you have ahead of that group are Jerry Jeudy, Juju Smith-Schuster, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Darnell Mooney.
And that's part of the problem that I talk about all the time with Dynasty rankings. If you have a team, one of the 3 or 4 teams that could really win it this year, then all those old guys are better than all the young guys you just said. But if you're not competing for a championship, those guys are combustible. Like, you don't want to go into a game with them on your roster because dynasty value might crater in one game.
You know, one thing though about Allen is I wonder, do you think he'll age better than Evans, Cooper, Cooks, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins? Because he is a great route runner, and I think it was Danny Woodhead said that that Keenan Allen was one of the best route runners he had seen. We had Danny Woodhead on one of our shows, and I mean, I guess I would compare him to Julian Edelman. Edelman at ages 30, 32, and 33, he missed his age 31 season with an injury. He was kind of like what you sort of expect from Keenan Allen. You know, about 70 yards. He averaged 70 yards per game all 3 years, mm-hmm. right around there. He's on pace for around 100 or so catches, maybe more than that. I think.
Didn't he also have a suspension for taking something during that or at the end of that stretch?
I think he missed 4 games in one of those years. But he was.
What did he have? What did he
have?
He had
slot receiver. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like. That's hard to say because he is an elite route runner. When Amari Cooper's healthy, he's he loses people silly.
He's a good rapper.
Michael Thomas, his whole Twitter account is Can't Guard Mike.
Can't do it.
These guys are all pretty.
That's true.
Except for Evans. Yeah. Evans and Cooks, I guess, maybe not, but.
Yeah. I guess it's just, I could, as long as he keeps getting all these targets, Keenan Allen, you know, he's probably going to continue to be Edelman-esque. He's been a better, slightly better version of Edelman. Like Larry Fitzgerald. Became that kind of player, right? Late in his career. Well, not before the
not lately.
Before the late, late portion of his career. Right. Okay. Anything else you want to add, Heath, before we wrap this up?
I'm good.
Okay. Heath has to jump. Dave, you and I will read some emails.
Perfect.
Bye, Heath. Oh, he already he does it like say goodbye, Heath. Come on. Be a gentleman. This is from Dominic. What's up, Thurgood Jenkins, Scarface, Brian, and Kenny Davis?
I feel like I should know that, but I don't.
He's from, I don't know if I should do the accent, so I won't. He's from right near the beach, boy. This is half-baked. Come on.
Okay, fine.
Can you talk about quarterback values and where to draft them? I have a 12-team half PPR, 6 point per passing touchdown league. I was thinking of keeping Russell Wilson in the 7th round and Deshaun Watson in the 15th round.
Mm.
He's not a 2 QB league. My other options are pretty bad. Metcalf and Mixon in the 1st round. A bunch of bad players. Antonio Brown, Miles Gaskin. What are the expectations for these quarterbacks changing teams, and where do they rank, specifically Watson and Wilson?
Watson is an incredible bargain, a screaming bargain at 15th. I would keep him unless we learn that he's not going to play this year, in which case I would not keep him. But even if he's suspended for, 6 games, we've been kind of batting that around as a possibility. I'm good with him. 15th round, that's fine. Wilson, in average drafts, I would imagine he'll go before the 7th round too. But I also don't mind keeping Mixon in the 1st round, depending on where that 1st round pick is. If it's at the real back end of round 1, I'm in. If it's the middle of round 1, probably not in. Definitely not in on keeping Mixon if it's a top 5 pick that you're looking at. And if you're not sure where that pick is, you have to declare your keepers before you know your draft order, then you got to let Mixon go. You could conceivably then, and I know this sounds weird, I don't love it, but you could keep both Wilson and Watson. But I would probably just lean toward keeping Watson at the value that you've got him at.
Jeff in South Jersey. Hey, Jimmy, Kim, Howard, and Mike. No?
Mm-mm.
Jimmy, Kim, Howard, and Mike. It's got to be Better Call Saul.
Okay.
Which was very good. I stopped watching it, but I wish I hadn't. 12-team PPR keeper league. I saw the writing on the wall early last season. I made moves for the future. I now have pick 101. 3 picks in each of rounds 3 and 4, and Jamar Chase as a 6th round keeper. In other words, I can never play fantasy again if I screw this up.
Okay.
I disagree with that, by the way. I don't know how valuable.
You can always play fantasy no matter how bad you screw it.
Well, no, I don't disagree with that. I disagree with the premise that you've got 3 picks in rounds 3 and 4, and that's some huge advantage.
It's not a rookie draft.
Oh, then yeah, you can't screw this up. Don't do that. For my second
keeper league, not a dynasty league.
Yeah, my bad. For my second keeper, should I keep Josh Allen or Cam Akers? It would be a 13th round pick, but this would be the last year I can keep Allen. I can keep Akers again for a 12th round pick in 2023.
You're going to see Akers get picked before Josh Allen in an overwhelming majority of fantasy drafts as things stand now. The only way that I would tell you to keep Allen is if the Rams spend, they don't have much draft capital to even get a running back. So it's probably not going to happen. Wait until the very last moment to declare your keepers. If there's no bad news on Cam Akers and it looks like he's going to be good to go for training camp, keep him and throw back Josh Allen, even at that crazy value.
And Steven, where's he from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Steven, I'm just going to sum up his TLDR, too long, didn't read. I now seem to have one of the better dynasty rosters in my league. I have the number 5 overall pick this year in the rookie draft and 2 second rounders in 2023. So he also has Michael Thomas. Good. Would you trade Michael Thomas now for a better starter or future draft pick while his value seems to still be somewhat good, or roll with the current team and see how the season plays out? And he does have a pretty good, compete to win now team. So how does Michael Thomas fit in? I don't love his bench. And Michael Thomas is currently his best bench player by a mile.
You mean you're not a big fan of Nick Westbrook-Ikhina?
I am definitely not.
Okay. So the first thought that I had in my head was, if you can turn Michael Thomas into a first round pick next year, I would do that. I wouldn't necessarily, I would consider it for a first round pick this year. It just depends on where that first round pick is, where you can basically exchange Michael Thomas for one of the top receivers in the draft, whether it's Wilson or London, Burks or Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, you guys know the names. But if you can't get either one of those deals, I think the next best thing to do is just to hang on to Thomas. It looks like you could potentially need him as a starter since you've got Saquon and J.K. Dobbins as your flexes. And I don't know how many games those guys are going to end up playing.
And our last email is from Jason in Seattle. Dear Brandon, Earl, Richard, and Cam.
Oh, those are members of the LOB.
That's right. Legion of Boom. And those are Seahawks defensive backs. 12-team dynasty non-PPR.
What a
league.
Defense that was, man. Yeah. They Great were
teams.
Good.
Great teams. So a 12-team dynasty, and it's non-PPR. My team is stacked, and in a previous trade, I ended up with pick 102 and 202 in this draft. With the draft class being weak and my team being stacked, I'm thinking about packaging 102 and 202 for future picks. What do you think is valuable for picks 102 and 202? 2023 first and a 2024 first? A 2023 first and a 2023 second? Or other ideas?
I don't know enough about 2024. I don't think it makes sense to trade the 102 and the 202 this year for a first and a second next year where you don't know where those picks are going to be.
No way. Right.
He sent over his roster. I'm looking at his roster. His running backs are Mixon, Cook, Chubb, Saquon. Yeah, he's got some good running backs, but some of them could be expired in the next couple of years.
I wouldn't trade. Because pick 102 in any draft class is very valuable. And I don't know that this is such a weak draft class.
It ain't bad when you're at 102.
Yeah. And you'd make
it's a probably
trade.
Probably Kenneth Walker.
You never know where that first round pick is going to end up. You trade this for a future first. I would not trade away 102.
I wouldn't trade 102 unless you're getting a first in 2023 and something else along the way.
But we already said don't do it for another second. I'm sorry. You're saying
he's got a very mature team. I mean, I could run down the whole squad for you, but like his youngest starter is CeeDee Lamb. And his next youngest starter is A.J. Brown. And then his next youngest starter after that is probably like Joe Mixon. He's got a lot of, he's got Kelsey, he's got Deshaun Watson, he's got Devontae. He's got a lot of aging players. His window's open. He's trying to win now. It's cool that you've got the 102. I would put it up on the trade block, see if you can get some really good offers for future picks. Would not trade it straight up for a first in 2023. You need more than that. You might need a quarterback if Deshaun Watson gets suspended for, I don't know, 6 games to 17 games. Might need another quarterback.
Okay, it's Kirk Cousins.
Another quarterback. Nah, you can probably get by with Kirk, but if you're trying to really win now, who knows what you could pull off? I don't know. You're not going to be able to get a great quarterback and a first-round pick next year. That's probably not going to happen. But you can probably get somebody like Kirk Cousins for a first and something else for your first. You know what I'm saying? So maybe that's not the move you make. So my bad for suggesting that. I didn't see Cousins on the team. Look, if you get a good offer on 102, take it. Otherwise, get ready to take a running back.
All right, cool. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Heath. Thanks, Shraggy B. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. Join our NFL draft contest. Just fill out the form and spell everybody's name right. Good luck to you. And we will talk to you on Thursday with some early average draft position, reviewing that on Thursday on Fantasy Football Today. See you later, everybody.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.